from that 63 sighting, what led him up to the moment where he wrote the book Alien Bases on the Moon?
Well, in 63, going to the Library of Congress, he went to the alphabetical section and came across an author by the name of George Damski.
Oh, yes.
Under the A section.
Mm-hmm.
And in the books, Flying Saucers Have Landed, which was co-authored by Desmond Leslie, the great-nephew to Winston Churchill, there were some of these pictures in there. So he found out that Mr. Adamski was on the West Coast, and he contacted him. And George Adamski was coming to the East Coast to lecture to the Air Force Reserves in 1963. So we made an agreement to meet the man when he came out to the East Coast, and a very close friendship endured after that point. And we actually spent the majority of our time either with him in our house or in the house of the Rotifers, which he stood out in Silver Springs with, every time he came out to Washington, D.C. And along with Mrs. Rotifer, my father and mother helped arrange some of the international press conferences and other events that Mr. Adamski went to.
So they really got involved.
Very involved, absolutely. And we also had the opportunity to witness some of these craft flying low level, which were later photographed in the Silver Springs February of 1965 film. When Mr. Adamski passed away in April of 1965, he was buried in Arlington Cemetery. And he gave my father possession of a lot of the material and told him to go on and continue the work. And in 1967, my father contacted NASA at Goddard Space Flight Center,
mm-hmm.
went there before 22 scientists, showed the films, the pictures, had a very intense discussion about this entire subject.
So they gave him an audience.
Oh, absolutely. They gave him an invitation. And also, within a month from that time, Colonel Freeman out of the Pentagon issued the same thing. So they went right from NASA to the Pentagon, both within, you know, 6 weeks' time. And to say the least, that this was not ridiculed information. In fact, they knew a great deal about it. They knew what the ships looked like. They were aware of the probability of their propulsion systems and what have you. So this was not a session where, you know, they tried to debunk the entire situation. It was very much the opposite. Then, due to the contacts he developed and over there at NASA, later on in the 70s when he started to collect more information from the spaceflight program, Lunar Orbiter's Apollo program,
right.
They directed him to a particular division where he could order the microfiche. They come in catalogs of 2x2 pictures, or you can get the microfiche itself.
So NASA was helpful to your father. As a matter of fact, I noticed that he was very thankful to NASA for helping provide him some material in his book.
Absolutely. I wouldn't say NASA as the organization, because these were individuals that were incorporated within NASA's program.
Okay.
But he was very thankful and very understanding of why some of this information is kept so to speak, quiet, why some of it is released gradually, and so on and so forth. So he did not ridicule them. He was more interested in obtaining the information to make it available to the public.
Mm-hmm.
He figured since they were underfunded and understaffed, if he could help out, then everybody would be a winner.
So he continues to do his research.
Right.
And then, now, at this point, Glenn, had he decided to write a book, or was he just trying to collect data?
Well, it was he was working towards the publication of a manuscript. That's correct.
Okay.
And and that culminated in the first book, Alien Bases on the Moon. And from there, after he passed away, then I added some revisions to it in order to, you know, perhaps clarify some of the pictures, because you're looking at magnifications, and sometimes you have lunar orbiter shots that the film isn't quite as clear as a Hasselblad picture from Apollo and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So I was basically asked by a great deal of people around the world to see if I could not enhance it a little bit, and then I tried to put my two cents worth.
Now, the first printing of the book was 1981, right?
That's correct.
That's when it first came out. What was the response when it first came out, if you recall?
Yeah, great response. In 1984, he was invited to a select committee before the British House of Lords, where he presented the material as well. He was invited on national television in Japan. He went and lectured to universities in Australia. He did several European lecture tours. But he had already been doing, he had been involved from the film doing lecture tours since 1964. So in Europe, he was pretty well known at that point already. So the response to the book and the information was very positive and continues to be very positive.
You have updated the book, and of course we'll get into what it is and in your thoughts and your dad's thoughts about the alien bases. You have updated the book. Why? What happened?
Well, I thought that it would be valuable to the reader to have a little bit of a background information on how my father got involved in this particular field, so to kind of round out the picture a little bit. And also, towards the end of it, to add a little bit of a generalized idea to give people about how science is progressing towards that that the evolution of life and the composition of life continues to exist throughout the cosmos, and so it should not be a great surprise to find out that we're not alone in the universe. And I don't think, the last Gallup poll, more than 50% of the people definitely believe that we are not alone in the universe.
Was your father a believer prior to getting involved with Adamski, even beyond that sighting?
Yes, because they had sightings prior to that in different locations. And so that was one of the first sightings in 63 in Washington that led him to go to the Library of Congress. But he had tracked these things for probably 10 years beforehand. So he always felt that looking up into the stars, that we're not the only inhabited place here in this little planet of ours.
What were some of the things that Adamski taught him? Because your father was an integral part of the Adamski Foundation, was he not?
Yes, he became eventually, he was co-director and then eventually director.
All right, tell us a little bit about that foundation. I mean, what were some of the things that Adamski believed?
Well, Adamski had taken, already since 1947, some very clear telescopic pictures and later movie films of these crafts in action. And he made these pictures available to the government upon request. He was not a person to hoard information. He was very free and open with that. And I believe to some extent he became a pioneer in this particular field because he was not afraid to go out on the road and talk about this subject. And we know, already Roswell happened in 47 and things continue to accelerate in 52, the sightings over Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a large plethora of activity to support Mr. Adamski as he went out and he talked, and there were sightings in many of the countries where he went as well. And so George was able to provide the foundation to my father to give him the ability to recognize these crafts more readily, to be in specific places and specific times, sometimes with him and sometimes without, so to carry that one step further. So he was, in a way, a sort of a mentor, I would say.